I'm Trisha Helfer, and you are listening to After the Credits at row3.com.
Remember when you were young? You shone like the sun. Shine your crazy diamond. Now there's a look in your eyes like black holes in the sky. Shine your crazy diamond.
Welcome to another episode of After the Credits. I am your co-host, Marina Antunes from row3.com and quieter.us. And joining me today, regular co-hosts,
Colleen
and Dale from Digital Doodles.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
That's all I have.
And that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. Let's go. Shortest show in history.
Nice.
Mind you, the podcasts are, the Row 3 Cinecasts are getting a little shorter, only because they're now doing two shows.
They're sub 2 hour now?
Well, I think the last couple...
Oh, no, don't talk crazy.
The last couple have been under an hour, but that's because, like I say, they're splitting them in half. So they're recording. I don't know if they're recording all in one sitting and then splitting the show, but this is all until the big joke was this is all until Kurt realizes he just has more time to wax poetic for another 2 hours.
Yeah, he'll get
two-hour shows, exactly. But always great. Come on by row3.com. Check out the other podcasts. The Mammal Guys did a really great Oscar podcast as well, so we're checking out. But we are here to talk March movies, and there's a lot of material to cover. Some stuff that's actually specific to Vancouver, so stay tuned. That's coming up at the end of the show. But let's kick things off with the Friday openings, and it's pretty busy. We'll start with March 1st, Jack the Giant Slayer, Bryan Singer's foray into, I don't know, the revisionist fairy tale.
That's a good name for the new genre.
Revisionist fairy tale. I'm sure I didn't coin that, I swear. But this one stars a whole cast of people, including Nicholas Holt, who sort of came into some attention with Warm Bodies earlier this year. Stanley Tucci, Ewan McGregor, and Bill Nighy. Ewan McGregor looks awesome in these trailers.
Yeah.
Love all over again.
What age demographic is this targeting?
Your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah, I'm sort of like, the subject matter doesn't inspire me as a, like a adult. Sort like Snow White, you can sort of push towards adult, but Jack and the Beanstalk.
I don't know. I think it's kind of skewing older from the looks of it.
It struck me as not a kid's story.
Yeah. I wouldn't take my nephew to it.
No.
But it looked too CGI-tastic for me. Like, it just... It did not, the cinematography didn't grab me. I'm kind of like, the story didn't.
Yeah.
Based on the trailer. I mean, this is always based on the trailer, but.
Of course.
It looks like it's well done, like in the sense that.
The actors.
It's kind of put together and it looks like they thought it out, but at the same time, it's not very compelling.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the same boat. I actually didn't know this movie was coming. Like, I didn't know Bryan Singer was working on anything beyond X-Men. And so when I saw this, I'm like, what the fuck? And I'm like, Bryan Singer, he must be executive producing. Oh, he's directing. Okay, weird things going on here. But yeah, the only appeal to me at this point is Nicholas Holt and Ewan McGregor. And Stanley Tucci, who's always awesome.
Yeah, Tucci's always good. But I mean, does he do leads? Do they give him leads? I think I've only ever seen him play secondary.
For the most part, he's usually the side character. I think he did his own movie, and even in that, he cast himself as a secondary character.
Yeah, like way back the dinner one.
Yeah, that's right. And even in that, he was a supporting character.
Yeah.
He seems to be happy with that, which is fine. I mean, yeah, some actors are great as supporting
actors. I mean, you need good supporting
and
actors.
And he is fantastic. Yeah. He's always good, even when the movies are shit.
I mean, that's kind of like, I feel like, you know, if someone wants to go to this movie, I'll go with them because... With the caliber of actors and with Singer, like Colleen said, I mean, the odds are really, really good. At the very worst, it's going to be competent.
Mm-hmm.
It just might not be kind of inspiring like you would hope with all the CG and the talent and everything.
Exactly, exactly. And I actually did saw an interview with Tucci and McGregor together. They play really well off of each other. So I'd love to see them on screen together. Also opening March 1st, 21 and over. Let's just dub this The Hangover for Teenagers.
Actually, X.2?
Yeah, whatever.
I was thinking more White Castle.
Yeah, it kind of has Kumar, a little bit of that vibe.
A little bit. Yeah, it's more of a college student. It's hard to tell from the trailer. I mean, I was about to say coming of age, but doesn't look like it's a coming of age.
No, it's becoming legal.
Maybe more of a Van Wilder. I don't know.
Yeah, Van Wilder.
But not anywhere near as classy. Yeah. I mean, no. You know, and if your first thought was Van Wilder was not classy, you have to look at this trailer and understand, like,
yeah, it's
top shelf compared to.
Agreed.
Did this strike you as kind of racist? I mean,
a little bit.
They kind of addressed it in the trailer, but the whole ethnic vibe in there just didn't.
The whole thing just seems kind of wrong.
Yeah.
Which is really disappointing because I like Justin Chan and I'd like him to do a role where he's more than just like this walk-on character. I'm not quite sure this is the one I'm going to see. And I mean, this is coming to us, the directorial debut of the men that wrote The Hangover. Just The Hangover. So yeah, you can sort of, you know.
Okay.
There's a theme there.
Yeah, pretty much. Basically, you know, boys getting drunk, doing shit they don't remember.
I have a camcorder. Let's film this.
Pretty much. Welcome to the 21st century and YouTube.
You know, this would have been more fun, like, if it had been two Asian characters getting the straight-A white guy. Like,
yeah.
Like, screw around with the genre expectations a bit, but.
White Castle, but the drunk guy is Neil Patrick Harris. Oh, wait. We've done this.
Been there, done that.
Repeatedly. Hooray.
Yeah, really. What character do we want to redeem? Maybe we'll get like Vanderbeek or Timberlake in there.
Vanderbeek would be awesome. I love Jason Vanderbeek. James Vanderbeek.
James Vanderbeek. Yeah.
Whatever. I can't believe they canceled Apartment 23. He was the best part of that show. I love that show.
The meta was fun. That was probably the best part.
I think it was just too mean for TV audiences because it did come across mean sometimes, and I think that sort of rubbed people the wrong way. But sorry, I'm off track.
Yes.
Continuing with the movies, March 1st, and I'm actually very, very, very excited for this. The Last Exorcism Part 2. The title makes no sense. I realize that. I don't care. It's co-written by Ed Gast Donnelly, who was also directing. He's Canadian, did Small Town Murder Songs a couple of years ago, which I absolutely loved.
Yeah.
So I am so stoked to see what he does with this.
The visuals that they used in the trailer are really compelling. Like, they're pouring the salt and like the music that's playing and all that. I'm like going, yeah, they're doing this right. They're
I hope so.
Yeah.
I have seriously high expectations for this movie. I kid you not.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah, not just a guy with a white collar kind of thing and a Bible going, "The power of Christ compels you." Like,
well, did you see the first one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't great, but it was pretty good. Do you have any interest in these whatsoever?
No.
You don't do the horror thing, right?
Well, I do some kinds of horror. I'm on the fringe of horror, and this isn't my kind of horror.
Goofy horror?
No, actually, I mean, I like psychological horror. Definitely I'm in for goofy horror. The occasional hardcore horror.
Slasher films have never really appealed to me.
Yeah, slasher, I broke down and watched the first Jason. And that was actually better than I thought it was. But having channel surf through some of the other ones, they didn't catch me. So,
no.
Hit and miss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Off topic.
It's within topic. Okay. We're talking about a horror movie.
Did we actually explain what The Last Exorcism was about?
So The Last Exorcism, well, this one picks up where the last one left off. And now the girl, the actress, what is her name? Ashley Bell. She's now rebuilt her life and she has a new life. And it turns out that she's actually maybe not still possessed, but something is following her.
Right.
That sort of
it's still inside you.
Yep.
I mean, the title is kind of stupid. I wish they'd changed it, but I can kind of see why they want to relate it to the first movie because it was so successful. So, I mean, who cares? It's just a bloody title. As far as I'm concerned, I don't care. As long as the movie is good, I don't give a damn.
Ultimately,
the key is the movie any good?
Always.
Gaston Lee, I am counting on you. Thank you.
You're on notice.
You're on notice. That's right. I'm putting you on notice. Also opening March 1st, by far one of the most exciting moments of the year for me, I must say. This was my number two most anticipated movie of the year. I'm really stoked.
Was this trailer not excellent?
All of these trailers have been excellent. All of them. I have seen the video interviews, the Q&As. I am ready for this movie to open like tomorrow. And of course, because we're in Vancouver, it actually opens after March 1st. It opens March 15th.
Bastards.
For anybody that's keeping track. Yeah, it's kind of sad. But so this is Chan-wook Park's English language debut. The man responsible for the Vengeance trilogy and Thirst, among others.
The very first name that came up on the trailer was from the director of Old Boy. Yeah, I'm like,
I know, eh?
I've seen Thirst. I liked Thirst.
Yeah, I liked Thirst quite a bit, too.
It was way too long, but I liked it.
Yeah, it needed a little bit of editing.
It was kind of two stories.
Very much so, wasn't it? But it certainly has its moment.
Yeah.
So Mia Wasikowska, Nicole Kidman, and Matthew Good star. I'm not 100% sure because I've been trying, even though I've seen all of the press material, I'm trying to stay kind of away from the any major descriptions. I know it's about a overprotective mother who doesn't like her daughter and a creepy uncle that shows up.
Yeah, that uncle vibe, man.
I know, the creepy uncle. Matthew Good, so good, is creepy.
Gotta keep them separated.
Okay, only on this podcast will we get the offspring mixed into a description of Stoker.
You know, when I saw this, it was like, oh, it must be a vampire flick because Bram Stoker. I was actually a little disappointed.
You and me both, because for a long time, I thought it was going to be a vampire movie, and then it wasn't. And I'm like, I don't care. I'm still really excited.
So there you be.
Yeah. There you be. Am I the only one that's excited, or are you guys excited?
I am. I think it looks great.
No, I'm afraid the trailer didn't.
It's got the right shade of creepy to like totally inspire me.
Sweet.
I was a little bit curious because Mia, whose last name I cannot pronounce.
Wasikowska?
Played Jane Eyre. And I thought, wow, that's a contrast, man, for the resume. Jane Eyre to like supernatural, freaky.
Yeah. She's pretty fabulous. Also opening March 1st, Phantom, the movie that appears to have come out of nowhere. Thankfully, it has a cast. Ed Harris is always good in my book.
As a sub-captain, yeah, this actually, almost
that's
for that
right
alone, I want to go.
With like Connery as the submarine captain. Yeah. I'm right there for this.
Yeah, also co-starring David Duchovny.
As the bad guy.
And
according to the trailer.
Yeah, and William Fichtner.
Fichtner.
Who's always good. Fichtner.
This was the first movie where it's like, yeah, I want to see this. Not enough that I will see it on my own. So hopefully I can find someone to go with, but I want to see this.
I'd be interested.
Yeah.
If only for Ed Harris, because he is not in movies.
Mostly just for Ed Harris.
That man is badass.
My favorite Ed Harris moment is from Truman, when he's like,
yes.
Cue the sun. I love that moment. Like, wouldn't you just love to like, but sir, sunrise isn't for, cue the sun.
He's pretty fabulous in everything.
He was great in Rock too. I really liked him.
Yeah, I think the thing that I've liked him most in was the one that he directed Pollock, about Jackson Pollock.
Oh, yeah, I still haven't seen that because
which I really really like.
I totally am not into Jackson Pollock.
But the movie is quite good.
Is it?
Yeah, okay. And Harris directed and he stars and he's pretty fabulous.
So. I'll put that on my Letterboxd list.
It's pretty awesome.
That should have been the URL I opened with. Yeah, anyway.
Oh, next time. Well, you can do it at the end. I can link to it.
There you go.
Also opening March 1st, A Place at the Table. This documentary comes to us care of the folks that brought us Food Inc. All about the epidemic of hunger across the U.S., I was actually kind of impressed by this trailer. It suggests a documentary that's far more interesting than I would have guessed from the description and the title. Some interesting points that they bring up in the trailer about the cost of food and what people can afford to eat and all of this other stuff. So it's certainly, for me, it's something that I'm kind of curious about.
I'm interested in it. Not enough to see it in the theater.
Yeah, no.
But I do want to see it.
Yeah, and it's only opening in limited release, so it'll be kind of hard to get your hands on it. before probably a DVD or VOD release too. So, which is too bad because I'm with you. It looks pretty good.
Just not interested at all.
None. Zero,
I'm not a big documentary fan to begin with, and this just has shades of what's his face, which I hate.
I don't know who what's his face.
Oh God, Columbine.
Yeah.
It just like over-centralized. Like we have one thread, and we have a story, and we're going with this story, and to hell with any other countering points whatsoever.
That's always the danger with documentaries. But yeah. But actually, as long as the documentary is really clear about whether they have a point of view or whether they're trying to be neutral,
yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that. You know, and so then I can decide whether I want to see it or not.
As long as you're not gray about it,
yeah,
I'm okay with that as well. And that's the problem with a lot of documentaries is they're sort of in the gray area where they're in some points they're making a point, a statement, and in others they're kind of playing both sides of the field, and that never really works out.
Yeah.
Also opening on March 1st in Western Canada only. Sorry, Toronto, you're out of luck here.
Because it's the beer out here.
Yeah, pretty much. So we have the movie out here. The story behind this is Kokanee put up a bunch of money to make a movie. I don't know if there was a competition involved. I'm assuming there must have been at some point. But
I seem to recall there was.
But I think the competition may have been for
script. Like,
no, I think it might have been for people attending the movie. Though I have a feeling you're right. I think
there was some script thing involved. I think way back when there was some sort of a
you
promotion.
Make your own 30-second sort of spin on it.
Yeah, that
would
make
we
sense.
Pick you, we'll help you.
And now they're having a contest
there
to attend
go.
It. Yeah.
So the movie out here. Very much a West Coast sort of thing. There is a lot of beer. There is Sasquatches. Well, one Sasquatch.
Yep. There's Glacier Girls.
Glacier Girls. And if you don't know what the hell we're talking and about, then you're
Ranger
obviously
Rick.
Not
yeah.
from here.
You obviously have never checked out a can of Kokanee looking to see where the Sasquatch is on the label.
Correct.
Kokanee is sold in Ontario. So okay. they know. I remember this because they got in trouble because their big thing is like glacier fresh water.
Oh.
And someone went, wait a minute, it's being bottled in Ontario. Where are you getting your glacier fresh water from? And
oops.
They had to do a little bit of. I think this will play well in Northern Ontario, if nothing else.
Yeah. You had mentioned, I think we talked about this in short when we were doing the Whistler podcast.
But you're right. If they haven't seen any of the marketing before, there's going to be a lot of fill in the blanks.
Yeah, very much so. So, I mean, this is I think the DVD release is close behind. I think I saw it on the Alliance website. So you will see it, you know, on DVD, whether I'm sure the DVD is more readily available than the screenings will be. But, if you're into, like, it's stupid comedy. Like,
it is.
It's pretty dumb, but it has some really funny moments. And I don't know, there's just something really cool about sitting in a room with a bunch of people and you all get the same joke.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, like, you're pretty sure that a lot of people won't get that joke. So it's sort of like a shared in-joke.
I want to see this again in a proper theater and not the gong show.
Without ass hats, yeah.
Well, yeah, like there was someone a couple rows in front of me that were repeatedly doing flash photography of themselves to post on Twitter or Facebook or something.
Let's be honest, this is what happens when you give people free
beer. It's the
worst experience I've ever had in watching a movie in my life.
To set the scene, this showed at the Whistler Film Fest and we had a chance to see it. It was also their big opening premiere party.
Yep.
And I would say that 3/4 of the crowd was some degree of inebriated, and some of them were really drunk. And they were there to party, not watch the movie. We were there to watch the movie. This is not a good formula.
No.
I guess one of the actor's friends were grouped in there, again, right in front of me. And every time he showed up on screen, they went, "Fresh," which was his character's name. But, you know, it's not like they've even gone on and he comes back 10 minutes later. In the same scene, you see Fresh cut away to the other Glacier guy who says something, cut back to Fresh, and all of a sudden they're all going Fresh again every time he appeared on the screen.
And they were drunk enough they thought this was funny.
Yeah. Well, as Dale says, it's not the best. It wasn't the best
venue,
and you know, you really can't put together a bunch of people that want to party and a bunch of people that want to watch a movie. It's never going to work out. So Dan was unfortunately locked out of this one. Yeah. He is dying to see this.
I had someone famous sit beside me and I didn't even know it.
Oh, that was awesome.
So wait, who
Snow. That's yeah.
So, yes, people, this, Snow is in the movie.
Yeah, I looked across and there's Snow sitting beside Dale. He's like,
this guy sits down beside me and it's like, it's dark. I'm watching the movie and it's like, he's got this big shit-eating grin on his face and he kind of waves and I'm like, oh, hi.
And he's like, dude, I'm in the fucking movie.
And they're like, Snow sat beside you. Oh, was that who it was?
Well, I think it's hilarious that they don't actually show him in the trailer. They show the back of the Jeep and nothing else. And I said to Dan, maybe I shouldn't say it. Okay.
He was a really good sport, too. Not a lot of celebrities would do what he did in that movie.
Very true.
So hats off to him for that.
Yeah. And it's,
and I still love the cameo Bubbles did on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there really are. I mean, it's really stupid, but there are some really genuinely funny moments.
Yes.
I mean, if you can put up with the dumb.
Hey, I'll give it the single greatest sole product placement full-length feature I've ever seen in my life.
Probably one of the few, too.
And you know, I can't think of very many that would also qualify. Maybe Coca-Cola Kid.
Oh, yeah, okay.
There's, you know, very few.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I never thought of that. But for them to have that marketing campaign and turn it into something more than just marketing beer, because they have built that whole story and mythos around the product. It is good work.
It totally is. I completely agree. And I mean, Kokanee saves the day.
And you know, the funny thing is, right, we got a free can of Kokanee. Yes, we got a free can of beer as we came in and we're like, do you want this? I don't drink that. It's like, no, you can have mine.
Yeah. Mind you, you know, if I have a choice between Kokanee and some other, you know, shitty local beer, I'll take
Kokanee over Heineken, actually.
Over Budweiser.
Yes.
Oh, in a second.
Budweiser, Labatt, name them. Miller.
True.
Okay, we have given that movie way more time than it probably deserves.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to April 8th. This is a Canada-only release, Robert Cuffley's Ferocious. He directed Walk All Over Me a few years ago, which I actually really liked. I say actually, like that's a surprise. He's a good director. This one stars Amanda Crew as a small-town girl who is now a famous actress, and she will go to any length to protect her fame. There was a trailer kicking around online just before Christmas. It has disappeared. I can't find a trailer anywhere. I thought it looked pretty damn good.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, I didn't see the trailer either.
Yeah, like I say, they've taken down the trailer. I have told Mr. Cuffley that the trailer is nowhere to be seen. Kind of hard to promote your movie when nobody can see a trailer.
No kidding.
But yeah, so that's opening across Canada on March the 8th. So keep a lookout for that.
You know, that kind of... Did we talk about this already?
Which one? Ferocious?
Ferocious, yeah.
I don't think so.
Kim Coates.
Oh, Kim Coates.
And Eklund kind of ring a bell from
Kim
somewhere.
Coates and Michael Eklund. I think they've been in a couple of movies together before. Well, yeah, I guess I should mention that they're both in it. Michael Eklund is sort of like star on the rise, man. We're going to talk about him again in a little while. Moving on, also on March 8th, probably... what is being billed as one of the bigger movies of the month, though not one that I'm particularly interested in, Sam Raimi's Oz the Great and Powerful, with huge cast, James Franco, Michelle Williams, Rachel Weisz, Mila Kunis, God knows who else. I'm sure I'm missing a bunch of people. But and I guess it's basically the introduction of the Wizard.
It's like a prequel.
The first prequel. Book. Yeah.
The Wizard of Oz. Yeah.
I gotta say, I'm really not. I love this cast. I have zero interest in that.
Again, this had the same problem as the Giant Slayer. Yeah. You know, the cinematography, and it could be that it's going to look different on a big screen than it's going to look on a computer monitor. But the cinematography didn't really grab me. The storyline that I saw didn't grab me.
I'm not compelled to watch it. It doesn't seem to have.
I
don't want to use the word soul, but it just seems sort of
flat. It
kind of
does feel like it has no soul.
The trailer didn't give you any sense of the storyline. They showed you a bunch of CGI.
Yeah, pretty much.
And that to me is kind of a warning sign.
I must admit, I like the concept of Because I think the big thing with the first trailer was that everything that was set in the real world was in black and white and sort of full frame. Yeah, full frame. And everything when he's in Oz is wide, really colorful and lush. I like that visual cue. But beyond that, nothing else about this interests me.
Well, that's just a repeat of the original.
Yeah.
Which everything in Kansas is gray and everything in Oz is Technicolor.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'd rather watch The Wizard of Oz again.
The only thing, you know, I haven't looked much into it other than watch the trailers. The only thing I have not heard any word whether or not Bruce Campbell's in it.
I would assume
it is Sam Raimi.
No, you know what it's really hilarious. If you in IMDb, if you go over the cast list, it has Bruce Campbell rumored.
Of course, because I'm sure that next to every Sam Raimi
he's been
movie,
virtually all of them. The Quick and the Dead, he never did make it in.
So
although apparently
few.
He was on set and what's-his-face had him and his boys beat him up on camera and then never used it.
It'll be in the movie.
Not.
So that is Oz. It sounds like none of us are all that interested in that one.
No.
Also opening March 8th, Dead Man Down. This, I think, looks pretty spectacular, and anybody that uses Pink Floyd in a trailer is good by me. directed by Niels Arden Oplev, who directed the original Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Worth noting, he did not do the sequels, which weren't as well received. Written by J.H. Wynum, who actually I think is worth noting because he's a producer and writer on Fringe.
Oh.
Which I thought was kind of interesting. Stars Colin Farrell and Naomi, Noomi Rapace, and Dominic Cooper. She plays a woman who is basically watching this guy, and they end up sort of talking to each other because he's curious if she saw him do something bad. I think maybe kill somebody somebody.
They're really playing the mystery up.
They really are. The trailer looks spectacular, like really nice, sharp-looking trailer, and really this cast is enough for me, this director. I'm game.
You know what? It doesn't look bad, but I don't know. It's the kind of film that doesn't over... I don't know. It just didn't have anything that really grabbed me in it. Like, it doesn't look bad. It probably is a really good film, but I don't know. Again...
Didn't appeal.
Trailer, the way it's cut, just didn't appeal. But like you say, Pink Floyd, like Crazy Diamond, that was a nice choice for it, but yeah, it really didn't do it.
I'm like, are they really going there? Oh my God, they're totally going there.
It's a nice version of Crazy Diamond.
Yeah, I was actually going to check to see who actually did that cover version. Dale, any interest?
I'm on the fence. Yeah, like you say, there was some...
You could be swayed.
Great stuff. Oh, I mean, you know me, I'm kind of a movie whore. Excellent. I'll go to almost anything if someone's going.
Excellent. I like the sound of that. Not the whore bit, just the whole, if I go, you know, that thing. Also opening March 8th, not noted as a limited release, though I would assume that it is, excuse me, Christian Mingus' Beyond the Hills. This from the director of 4 months, 3 weeks, 2 days. Not as well received as his debut film, but still holding strong. A drama based on a series of nonfiction books written by a journalist about, and the story basically centers around two women who were friends as youths. One decides to go into some religious sort of cult kind of thing, and the other one goes off somewhere, comes back to visit. They had some sort of relationship.
Is this a straight on drama or is this supernatural? Because I wasn't sure from the trailer.
It's very much a drama. It has serious horror elements.
Okay. Creepy commune
kind of a
religious...
psycho thriller.
Yeah,
of,
and by the like, it's on the long side. Did you see it at VIFF?
No, I didn't.
So it's on the long side. It's a bit dry. The middle is a slog. Like, you get to the second act and it's just like, fuck, just move on. But when it picks up for the third act, holy shit, it's like a dead on horror movie. It's so good. It pretty much makes up for everything that came before it.
Is it
is
like the
that intense.
The Wicker Man one that Do you remember 2 years ago?
It
turns into the Wicker Man at the end.
Something less.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about too. Yeah, kind of like that.
Nice, I'm in.
It's like, it's pretty badass. Like, if he did a full-on horror movie, I would be in like movie glory hell, like heaven. It would be amazing. Like, seriously amazing. It'd be like, you know, an art house thriller, horror movie. Like Rosemary's Baby.
I love What the Fuck.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I can't really speak beyond that. It's just so amazing. Also opening March 8th, another horror movie. This one, nowhere near as good.
Yeah, you've seen this one too, haven't you?
Yeah, piece of shit. I can't believe I spent my time on this crap. And I took flack from Dan for it. And I'm talking specifically of the ABCs of Death. This is already available on VOD if you prefer to see it at home. Amazing cast of directors. So it's basically the entire alphabet. Each letter is
a short film. And everyone gets like 5 minutes or whatever.
Some of them aren't even that long. Some of them are shorter than that. Some of them are longer than that. On average, it's about 5 minutes.
I can't read anthology books. I just can't. They drive me mental. I don't think I can watch this.
I'll say this for it. There are some really amazing shorts here and some real shitty shorts here. Like, like really, really shitty shorts. Like,
so we almost wish we could have Marina's best of reel.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah,
do
it. I would love to get these all on like little bits that I could curate my own show. Because there are some amazing gems.
The
like,
A, B, F. Yeah. S, T, and Z of
we Dan. Got as far as K before Dan started to want to throw things at the TV. He's like, seriously, why are we watching this? I'm like, okay, I'll turn it off. I will watch it on my own. That is as far as we got before he started losing his shit. There is a lot of crap. I was really disappointed because I was expecting some really amazing things. And it starts off kind of okay. And then there's one or two shorts near the beginning that are pretty good. And it's hilarious that I can pick out Nacho Vigalondo's short without even looking at his name because it's just so batshit crazy. But there's just so much shit. There's just so much crap in here. Yeah. Watch at your own risk.
I'll pass.
Probably best on VOD where you can fast forward through the crap.
I was just thinking this is perfect for like a DVD Blu-ray release where you can just go next chapter.
Which is exactly how I would see it at this point. Because even fast-forwarding it isn't enough. Okay, also opening March 8th. I am so stoked about this documentary. I cannot tell you how excited I am. Don't Stop Believing, Every Man's Journey.
You know, this
how does that voice come out of that little kid's mouth?
No shit, right?
This was the one where this was like, oh, obligatory, I have to watch this trailer. And after about 15 seconds, I'm like, oh... And after a minute, it's like, oh, shit, I got to see this. I'll go to the theater for this.
Yeah.
I hate rockumentaries. I really don't like watching about musical. You know what? A story, yes, but the life of the band and that.
So let's tell them what
this
it's about.
This is awesome.
So this is about Arnel Pineda, who's a Filipino guy that was discovered on YouTube. And he was approached by Journey to basically reinvigorate the band. So he is now the lead singer of Journey. And the documentary follows him. It's the documentary filmmaker, her name is Ramona Diaz. I believe she's also Filipina. And she has basically documented his, I don't know if it's just the first year, but it's a year and a bit of his entry into this world of Journey.
I love the comment the one guy said in it. Like, how do you take a guy from the third world and throw him into this?
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting stuff to go on, like, that they can play off here. And it looks like they've done a fairly good job of capturing some of it. Or at least the trailer suggests that.
The trailer had me hooked.
Oh, me too.
And it was like,
and let's face
some
it,
of the footage.
Journey.
Some of the footage they have is so compelling. Yeah. And then the music kicks in.
Of course.
I'm wondering if this will have an appeal to like, you know, teens and 20 somethings who haven't.
Well, all the Glee crowd will go, Journey, yay.
Oh, true.
Don't Stop Believing.
True.
Well, it's more than just the Glee crowd. It has become like this odd bar song that whenever it comes on the jukebox, everybody stops what they're doing and sings along.
Terminal City Faster Pussycats came skating out for a full year every time to Don't Stop Believing.
It's just bizarre how Journey is sort of, you know, they're back I think it's great. And I actually do like rockumentaries, so I would totally watch this if it was just a rockumentary about Journey. But this is so much better. So I'm very, very excited to check this out. Moving on to March the 15th, we're at the middle of the month, and there is still a lot more movie to come. I'm actually very excited to see The Call.
Really?
Yes, I am.
Oh my God, I found that trailer so boring.
Yeah. Oh yeah, well, come on.
I just want to fast forward.
Cliche comes to mind.
Oh yeah, for sure. And Halle Berry, I have no love for Halle Berry. But this stars Halle Berry as a 911 operator who makes a dumb mistake and gets a girl killed. The same dude, or well, I guess another girl calls a couple of years later. Same MO, it's the same guy. She feels all bad. Who cares about fucking Halle Berry? Nobody does. Abigail Breslin stars as the girl in the trunk. Michael Eklund as the bad guy. Yes. Go, Michael.
Yay, Eklund.
It pisses me off to no end that he is not mentioned anywhere on the list here. And like, you look at the credits list and he's like five down. Like, dude, he is your bad guy. Worth mentioning that this is directed by Brad Anderson, the man that brought us Session 9, The Machinist, and Tri-Siberian. We will forget the mess that was Vanishing on 7th Street.
Maybe you will.
Well, you know, that movie had some ideas. That's what it
You're being generous.
Very generous. Dan hated that movie. But yes, I'm very excited about The Call. Okay, another one that opens on the 15th that I kind of went, what the fuck is this?
I can't watch this.
And then I saw a trailer and I'm kind of like, oh, it's like Zoolander, but with magicians. So we're talking about The Incredible Burt Wonderstone.
There will be no blue steel moment in this film.
Are you sure about that?
I'm sure about this.
I don't
this
know
one.
About that. He's got some pretty fucking badass hair. There is some badass hair going on here. Steve Carell, Jim Carrey, James Gandolfini, and is it Steve Buscemi that's in this one too?
Yeah, Buscemi's in there.
Yeah, so Steve Carell and Jim Carrey play magicians who are vying for a Las Vegas show.
Show, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like Zoolander, but with magic.
It kind of had shades of those guys with the white tigers, someone and Roy, Siegfried and Roy.
Siegfried
and Roy.
Siggy. But
this is one of those movies where I'm sure the script was awesome.
Sorry.
Now you're making me laugh. Stop laughing, Marina.
It's not my fault. I'm picturing Steve Carell's hair. The wig is awesome.
It is good hair.
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm with Colleen. I don't think I can watch this. It's not my style of humor. But I'll say this. I suspect for people that like this style of humor, this is going to be like falling off the chair funny.
Well, I'm going to tell you, unless Dan decides that he wants to go to the movies and he picks this one, I won't go of my own free will. But I will see this. I will see this at some point because I think it actually could be pretty funny. My two cents are out there. Also opening March 15th, Ginger and Rosa. Sally Porter returns. She's been doing a couple of movies here and there, but this is the one that's sort of been on everybody's lips for the last little while. She, of course, is of Orlando fame. Starring Elle Fanning and Alice Englert. I think she's a newcomer. Now, this is the, okay, because I keep getting this one mixed up with the werewolf one, and I don't know why.
No,
you know, Ginger, that's the first thing I went, Ginger and Rosa. Cool, it's another episode of Ginger Snaps. Oh, wait, no, it's not.
No, it's not.
So this is the 1960s London, two girlfriends, you know, shit's going on, coming of age story.
It's the 60s, yeah.
Pretty much. I think it could be okay. I mean, Elle Fanning is really good. I really like her, so I would probably give this a chance if it opens here. I'm not rushing to see it, but
I'm actually kind of sad that I'm not more excited about this movie because the 60s was an interesting time and have
60s
it from a,
in London, man.
A female director doing a female perspective on it theoretically should be really interesting, but this trailer just did not
grab
me.
And I mean, I really like Sally Porter. She tends to make sort of kind of artsy-fartsy movies, which I kind of like. But yeah, this one, the trailer is just kind of there. I'll see it at some point, but
no it's a rush. Whole lot of motion, but
pretty much. Also opening on March 15th, Juan Solanas' Upside Down. Jim Sturgess and Kristen Dunst star as star-crossed lovers who live on upside-down worlds. That's all awesome.
The visuals,
just watch the trailer.
The visuals on this are
spectacular.
The most unique I think I've seen since Inception.
Yeah. I don't possibly want to see this while high.
Maybe
it would make it better.
I don't know.
I shouldn't say that because we've personal both seen
experience.
It.
Yeah. I don't want to see this high. I don't.
All things said and done, I my feeling on this is that Solanas is obviously a very imaginative guy. This isn't the kind of story that, you know, just anybody can think up. So it's very unique and it has some really good moments, but for me it just didn't really work.
The imagination in the world building is really good.
Yeah.
His storytelling is a little bit weak.
Yeah.
And I thought that the main characters didn't... Timothy Spall, like his character was my favorite.
He was the most interesting.
He was really good.
Really good. Dunst and Sturgis seemed like they were like play acting or something. They were just so comical. She always looked like she was about to burst out laughing.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? You're going to laugh now? I don't know. It just, the whole thing, they seem sort of not on the same page with Spall and the other characters.
Yeah. But yeah.
It looks amazing.
It's the kind of movie where, I don't think some people are going to be as sensitive to the story as I am, so I don't want to come down too hard on it. And the imagination in the movie is just really cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch it at home.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, put it on the big screen.
There you go. Okay, here's a case of, wow, this looks really stupid. This sounds really stupid. Then going, holy shit, that actually looks really great.
No, this is just really stupid.
I don't know about that. So I'm talking about Reality, directed by Gomorra director Matteo Garrone. So it is Italian.
Yeah.
The story about a fishmonger who becomes obsessed with... Big Brother.
Shades of Fellini, and I'm not a Fellini fan.
Yeah, well, I'm not much of a Fellini fan either, but I kind of have, I don't know, something about this trailer really appealed to me, and I can't quite put my finger on what it is. I don't know if it's his obsession with getting on and the idea that he starts to get paranoid that people are watching him all the time. There's something about that kind of piques my interest, and I really love the look of this trailer. It totally surprised me because seriously, that poster is just god awful.
Oh yeah,
and the description is just not good, but the trailer really did it for me. Really did it for me. So moving on to March 22nd, Antoine Fuqua returns with Olympus Has Fallen. I must say, the trailer for this kept me busier for longer than I ever thought possible for a movie of this type. Blame it on Dan. I researched this plane for, I kid you not, like 45 minutes. The plane that's in the trailer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I spent 45 minutes racking my brain trying to figure out what kind of plane it was.
Wow.
I kid you not.
I've totally forgotten there was even a plane in the trailer.
Yeah, it was an unusual one. It's very rounded. And I
think it's a C-100 or something. Yeah. Trust me, I emailed Dan, I looked at Google Images, I'm like, I got to figure out what this is. Yeah, way more time than necessary. This stars Gerard Butler.
See, and you didn't even have to pay the price of admission.
That's
See?
Right. Stars Gerard Butler as CIA or something. He was some big, see that plane.
Yeah.
made a mistake.
I think you're right.
C-100?
130, I think.
130, yeah. I looked it up. He plays a CIA agent who's like disgraced. They put him on like White House duty, but doing like something really inconsequential. The Chinese visit, they take the president, they take the White House, all shit breaks loose. And of course, he's the only one that can save the day because he's inside. That's really all you need to know. Also worth mentioning, it stars Angela Bassett. I haven't seen her in a while.
Yeah.
And Ashley Judd, who I quite like and haven't seen her in a while either. I don't know. This could go either way.
Not interested.
Yeah, this feels more like a shooter than a...
It feels like a summer film.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Let me just go to...
Yeah.
watch some things blow up.
Exactly. The American flag coming down slowly over the White House is kind of lame, but whatever.
Yeah.
Also opening on March 22nd, Admission. Paul White's The Man Behind About a Boy, American Dreams and Being Flynn, returns with Tina Fey and Paul Rudd. I'm not really sure what to make of this trailer.
You know, me neither. The story kind of bugged me.
Yeah,
because the story premise.
So she plays a
hard-ass admissions officer.
Yeah.
And what
you
does he
get
play?
Into my university?
Ha. Yeah.
And he plays the father of some kid?
There's a kid that's applied that she thinks might be someone she gave up for adoption or something.
Oh,
like that.
Okay. So that's what happens.
Actually, I think she hooked up with what's his face at one point, and he runs a rural farming school or something, and
right.
some kid's a prodigy.
What gets me about this is that they're two very, very, very funny people in a completely forgettable trailer.
Yeah.
For a movie that sounds completely forgettable.
I mean, I was really excited when I saw this trailer in the theater and I didn't rewatch it before the podcast. Maybe I should have. But yeah, Tina Fey, you're like seeing Tina Fey up there and it's like, you know, if I had been a puppy, my tail would have been wagging me. It's like, oh, Tina Fey. And yeah. It's like by the end of the trailer, it was like, well, the story is kind of lackluster and she's kind of not even funny in the trailer.
There's only one part in that whole trailer that I actually remember, and that's the gymnast on the table going, like, I'm from this country, I'm a gymnast, I'm black and Asian and handicapped or something like that. Admitted.
Yeah, I think that might have been the only funny moment in the trailer.
Yeah, it's kind of hurting.
So yeah, it's kind of like this is one of those movies where you sit on the fence and you see what the buzz is before you decide to go.
Pretty much. Also opening on March the 22nd, the animated fair for the month, I believe. The Croods from the man that brought us Space Chimps. And the man that brought us Lilo and Stitch and How to Train Your Dragon. Quite the mix of directors there.
Yeah.
Nicolas Cage, the voice talents of Nicolas Cage, Ryan Reynolds, Emma Stone, and Catherine Keener. About a young woman, it's during the cave times, a young girl who grows up learning never to leave the cave. And then she leaves the cave.
Dun, dun, dun.
Pretty much. I actually thought this trailer was kind of fun. I'm not sure I'll see it. But I thought it was kind of fun. And it's a girl really leading the charge. Go girls. And Brave won an Oscar. I didn't love Brave, but go girls.
Yeah, that was... No, we don't want to start talking about that.
Yeah, no, but go girls.
I won't talk about that. Emily phoned me on my birthday, and she was talking about random things. She's 4. What the hell? Or is she 3? No, she's 4. And she was talking about Brave. And it's like, and she goes, you know why I like Brave? I'm like, no, why do you like Brave? Because she didn't go to school. I'm like, yes. History repeats itself again.
You got to love it. Yeah. Any thoughts on the Croods?
I liked it because it was animated and it looked like it could be funny and it didn't look like it would be another Ice Age. So I do want to go, but not... Yeah, Scritch was the best thing out of that whole thing. I want to go see this. It's not a priority to go see it.
You'd have to pay me a fairly substantial sum for me to watch this.
You know, there were...
I'll take it for $1.
Not enough.
There were good things about the trailer. There were bad things about the trailer, and I'm not quite sure how they balance out. So, but yeah. I would take a chance on it.
Yeah, I was actually. I thought this was that other one. There was a trailer for. It might have been a Tarzan movie that they're making. That the animation looks really, really bad.
They're making a Tarzan movie.
I think it's a Tarzan movie. I don't know. I might be talking out of my ass. There's an animated movie that's coming out soon. They've been working on it forever. There was a trailer that was leaked or was online or something, and it looks like animation from like 7 years ago.
I am blissfully oblivious.
Probably for the best. Continuing, marching on ahead, treading ahead, continuing on March 22nd, because it is still a lot of March to go.
Jesus.
Okay, I am beside myself. March is a good month for me. Spring Breakers is finally making an appearance. Thank the fucking gods. Harmony Korine, who... I don't generally like at all. But who cares? Because this looks great. James Franco plays Alien, some like homie dude with guns and drugs who rescues a bunch of like teen college girls who were on spring break and got themselves into some trouble. So we've got Vanessa Hudgens, Selena Gomez, a bunch of other girls who are all teen queens in a really weird sort of 18A for mature audiences only kind of thing. I don't know what to make of it. I think it looks great. I get excited whenever I see anything Spring Breaker. So I don't know why.
This whole premise makes me angry.
I wish everybody could see Colleen's eyes. She looks like she's about to kill somebody.
I just look at this trailer and go, you're the fucking stupidest people on the planet. And if you die, oh well. I have no sympathy. If you're that fucking stupid, pardon my language, die. Just do the world a favor and die.
Yeah, actually.
See?
That kind of nails why it didn't kind of interest me. Like films where you have people getting into obviously bad situations and things just spiral out of control, I typically don't.
You know what? There's making bad choices and then there's being brain dead fucktard.
Yeah.
Again, pardon my language. I feel very strongly about this.
I mean,
yeah, the drug dealer just hauled us out of prison. Yeah, Let's do more bad things.
I mean, normally, you know, when I see a girl in a bikini with a Mac 10 and it's not taking itself too seriously, the movie, it's like, yeah, it's just fun. But this one was like being way mega serious and it had these really weird overtones and women doing bad things, like stupid things.
And see, everything you guys hate about this is what I love about it. Because it's just so ridiculous.
Well, now you have me curious. I'm really going to be looking forward to your review.
I'm all about the violence and the doing horrible, horrible things. But, you know what? Do it on your own level. Don't get involved in shit that you can't stop. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I kind of like the out of control factor.
No.
To be honest.
Well, you need some amount of out of control. There's no, like, story tension.
Yeah, and seriously, for a while there, I thought it was like a movie about abductions. The guy's name is fucking Alien.
And the way that they've cut the trailer, it's hard to know where. I mean, that story could go a whole lot of different ways. They didn't give anything away, I don't
know. No, and I mean, there's like so many. I think there's now like five or six trailers kicking around, and they're all cut to make the movie look different. So, and I can't put my finger on what the movie is actually about and what the tone of it is. I have no idea. It could be like total shit, but I'm super excited to see it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to your review.
Moving on, also opening on the 22nd, The Sapphires.
This looked like fun.
Yeah, I agree. Chris O'Dowd stars. Did I not photocopy all of the pages?
No, I'm just noticing we still have like 37 pages left to go.
Yeah.
It's not really 37. We'll move along.
I exaggerate.
There's a couple of like things that we can skip over here. So The Sapphires, starring Chris O'Dowd, Deborah Mailman, Jessica Mauboy, and Shari Sevens. Takes place in the 60s about a group of Australian Aboriginal girls that basically go to Vietnam to entertain the troops.
Singing like a black soul group. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Motown.
Very much so. I really love the setup for this trailer where they're like, no, you got to find a different sound because this isn't working for you.
You're black and you're singing country. And that Chris O'Dowd sort of drawl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is wrong.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I really love him. I'm glad that he's, you know, in something that's a little more substantial.
This looks like one of those really light but still has something serious to say in the background. You can just go and have some fun and, yeah.
I won't see this in the theater, but if I see it on Netflix, I'll watch that for sure.
Yeah, agreed. It looks pretty good. March 29th, cue the music, G.I. Joe Retaliation. From the guy that brought his step up to Step Up 3, and John Beaver, Never Say Never. Now, don't judge the director by, you know, his previous works, because this actually looks kind of badass.
This looks like the first G.I. Joe movie, which, you know, if you like the first, I would expect you like the second. I like the first for a bunch of reasons. If you watch G.I. Joe as a kid, you'll probably hate it.
Yes. See, no JGL, even less reason to watch this one.
Dude, like, if you didn't know JGL was in the first one, you never would know that JGL is in the first one.
You had to hunt him down.
Pretty much. Like, if you didn't know, you didn't know, because you never get to see him.
Oh,
at
I
least
knew.
His face. Well, yeah, we all knew.
This is, I don't know we'd have to talk about this too much.
No, but I must say, I was sold on this trailer, even though the movie's been pushed like 3 or 4 times now. Hopefully it will finally come out on the 29th.
Wasn't the original G.I. Joe pushed a lot, too?
I can't remember. I can't probably. Remember.
Yeah.
Probably. I'm not expecting great things. Like, don't get me wrong.
No, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
The best thing about the entire trailer was Bruce Willis in the back of a Camaro and then kicks down his side and starts firing off the machine gun.
Call me Joe. When I saw the clip of them fighting their ninja sword battle off the side of the cliff, I'm like, I'm so fucking seeing this movie. So seeing this movie. Also opening on March the 29th, vying for my attention and probably the thing I will see first that weekend, The Place Beyond the Pines. Blue Valentine director Derek Cianfrance returns. Ryan Gosling, Bradley Cooper, Eva Mendes, Rose Byrne. I don't even know need to know what this is about.
You know what?
I am sold.
I'll watch it and I'll enjoy it, but I really don't want to. It's a depressing looking trailer.
Of course. It's
It's much like my feelings on Blue Valentine. Like, I was not compelled to watch it.
Yes.
And then I watched it and I was like, that was really good. I don't ever want to
see it again. Agreed.
I'm getting the same vibe. It's like, I'm going to force myself to watch this film because I know I'll enjoy it, but really, I don't want to see it.
And it will probably be a little bit violent.
Well, yeah.
I would guess just a little violent. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Okay. Dale, do you have any comments on The Place Beyond the Pines?
It looks good. It's the kind of movie I need to be in the right mood to see.
Okay. Hopefully it'll be the mood of the weekend that opens. Because I'm going to need some movie buddies for that weekend. Also opening March the 29th. Drum roll, please. The Host.
Dun, dun, dun.
Pretty much. Directed by Andrew Niccol, who directed Gattaca, Lord of War, and The Not So Great in Time.
Gattaca. Yes.
Yes, pretty much. You know, I see Andrew Niccol, and it was his very first movie, and it's still the go-to Andrew Niccol movie.
Yeah.
He did Gattaca. Okay, it makes everything better. Even all the crap that he's made since. He hasn't made a lot of crap, but, you know, In Time was not very good. Okay, but I'm off topic. Saoirse Ronan stars as Melanie Strider / Wanderer, futuristic movie, very sort of body snatchers, but much more personal.
Mm-hmm.
Her body has been invaded by an alien creature.
Who's taken over most of Earth.
Pretty much. There's a small group of resistance. She runs away. She's being chased by, what's her name? Diane Kruger, who plays basically the seeker. She's like a hunter. And it's more of a romance than a sci-fi movie, though it looks to me like Niccol's story is much more sci-fi than romance. At least that's the vibe I'm getting.
The trailer started off very sci-fi and then evolved into romance. I assume because it's based on a Stephanie Meyer story that it's going to be... Who did Twilight, for those of you that maybe are...
Under a rock?
In the new. She's actually in... It's Monday the 25th of February, and Stephanie Meyer is in Burnaby at the moment signing books, and I am not there.
How did that happen?
I know. It snuck up on me and I didn't have time to prepare. And I have a feeling I would have to take the entire day off to get there in time just to get the book signed. Because it's Stephanie Meyer. She is God to a bunch of people. So, you know.
She's going
to
have a true.
Yeah. So I thought, you know what? I'll just write off my losses now and I'll meet her at some point. What I was mentioning about this before we got started is one of the things that I hope that they do, that they're going to have to do something about, is I just read the book. It's taken me this long, years. But there's the story, because her body is being inhabited by another creature, and a lot of the story is personal. So there's a lot of mental conversations where she's the aliens talking to Melanie and vice versa. So I don't know how they're going to deal with this. And that's like a huge, huge part of the story. So we'll see how it plays out. I'm certainly curious to find out. And Saoirse is pretty fabulous.
Yeah, like Saoirse Ronan really hit my radar with Hannah. She did a really great job of
Atonement.
I really liked Hannah.
Yeah, she's really good in Hannah.
Atonement was kick-ass too.
Pretty much. If anybody is at all interested, they did a Google Hangout maybe a week and a half ago. It's on YouTube in the Open Road Media's YouTube channel, and it's actually pretty good. It's very sort of, I like these Google Hangout things because they're very non-scripted and they feel much more laid back, and it was pretty cool to listen to them talk. Also opening on March the 29th, the month wouldn't be done without a Tyler Perry movie.
But it's not a Madea movie. I almost fell out my chair. It's like, wait a minute, am I reading this right? Is this the same Tyler Perry that... My God, this looks like a serious film.
It actually does look pretty serious. So
he's contractually obligated to do two serious things a year between Madea.
Oh, I'm thinking it's the other way around. No, dude, you got to do the Madeas. Okay, like you want me to do, do two Madeas and one serious film.
Mind you, he would be contractually obligated to himself.
Yes.
Since he is his own production company. Okay. All good for him, man. Like, I have all sorts of respect for Tyler Perry. I just don't always love his movies. I actually am curious about this trailer. It's the story of a relationship, something or other. I don't know if she works
at sort of a counselor.
Or something. She basically meets this guy. It doesn't look like she's all that happy in her marriage. So, you know, she may have this relationship with this guy. It's a relationship drama, really.
She seemed like she was like a matchmaker kind of a thing.
Something like that, yeah. It's not a particularly innovative story. I mean, it's pretty by the book, but I thought the trailer looked pretty good, with the exception of Kim Kardashian, who looks like she's fucking stunned through like the two lines of dialogue that she gets to utter. And wow, Brandy has a last name. I had no idea Brandy had a last name. I thought it was just Brandy. I'm like, holy shit, it's Brandy. It's like, oh, she's got a last name. Colleen is like, what?
You know what?
Pretty much, right?
I sort of glossed over during this going, oh, it's Tyler Perry. Should I give a shit? No. No, I shouldn't. Not at all. Good for you, Tyler.
Keeping your cast employed
since
that's right.
2001.
Whatever.
Also
opening on March the 29th, Room 237. For those obsessed with all things The Shining.
No kidding. What a crappy trailer.
A must watch. I didn't even watch the trailer.
The trailer is just a bunch of like...
It's a VCR with blood coming out
of it. With cool. comments from critics about...
That's lame.
Yeah.
It is lame. I mean, for someone, I haven't even seen The Shining start to finish.
This is one of my big disappointments with Viv. It was too far along. I got sick once again and I stopped.
Wait, I'm in shock. Did you just say you've never seen The Shining from beginning to end?
What?
I missed that.
I have channel surfed through it. I have, of course, seen all of the pop culture references to it. I have never sat down and watched it from the very beginning to the very end.
I'm stunned. I don't think I can close my mouth.
Okay. I'm now, my That's list homework, is growing.
Man. Okay, this, it's no, homework. That should be at the top.
That's yeah. Okay.
The Shinin.
The Shinin. This movie is so badass. The documentary itself is also pretty badass. It's basically a bunch of like super obsessed, I was going to say crazy people, but they're not crazy. They're just obsessed people.
It's like people debating who would win in a superhero war.
Right.
Pretty much, except it's all about The Shining.
Yeah.
And it's pretty badass if you're a Shining fan. There aren't any talking heads. It's really interesting. It's mostly clips from the movie and like schematics of the Overlook Hotel. And it's just, it's seriously, for fans of The Shining, it is a must watch.
I have nightmares over that film. It's weird. I don't get nightmares over anything, and that really creeped me the fuck out because it is realistic, a lot of it. Like that whole cabin fever going nuts and trying to kill your family.
Jack Nicholson is pretty fucking badass.
Yes,
he is pretty badass.
Yes.
But I mean, the documentary itself, I think for people that aren't fans, or that, not, you don't have to be a fan, but for those that haven't seen The Shining, they probably won't really appreciate it because it's a bunch of people talking about a movie they've never seen. And for those that just have a passing interest in The Shining, it's probably not all that interesting either, because it just comes across as a bunch of crazy people talking about a movie. But if you're a fan, this is like a fan taking it to the obsessed level. And it's kind of fun just to watch, like sit back and watch these people talk. It's like conspiracy theory after conspiracy theory. It's just, it's kind of awesome to geek out over something like to this extent. So not for everybody, but those that will like this will love it, because it's pretty cool.
It needs to go to Netflix, man.
Agreed. And I'm sure it will at some point. Actually, this would make a great extra on like a Criterion release of The Shining.
Oh, man. Could you imagine?
That'd be awesome. Also opening on March 29th, finally, America, we will introduce you to the greatness of Starbuck.
This trailer...
I love this movie.
I want to see this movie so bad. Just
you
like
haven't
really,
seen this?
I haven't seen this.
Dude, you should have told me. I would have brought my DVD.
Oh, okay. We will set something up.
Dude, it's so good. I thought for sure you'd seen this.
I hadn't.
So I guess I just sort of assumed that everybody saw this because it played VIFF in 2011. Huge hit. Big audience favorite at pretty much every festival that it played. Stars Patrick Huard, who's like a Canadian movie icon from Quebec. It's a French-Canadian movie. It's about this guy who really can't commit to anything. He used to frequent the sperm banks. All of a sudden, he's in a relationship. The girl is pregnant. And it turns out that he's got all these kids from like this sperm bank.
560-odd or something.
It's amazing to me that no one in Hollywood had like optioned the script like this before, because it's kind of genius and that kind of sort of mainstream comedy sort of thing. What I love most about Ken Scott's movie, because he wrote and directed this, is that it has heart, which is really hard to get in a stupid comedy like this. Because if it played in Hollywood, it would be a dumb comedy that, you know, would get panned. But they really make it work. It's really funny. Give it a shot. Hilarious. And Scott is working on an English language remake. So, you know, Hollywood decided that it was time that they make this movie. But I will lend it to you. It's pretty awesome. If you're in Canada, it's available everywhere.
I liked it. It was good.
Colleen liked the comedy. Wow. To be noted here, Colleen
like. I
the
like
comedy.
A lot of comedy. It's just generally fucked up.
So this is pretty mainstream as it gets, and you liked it.
Yeah,
so
this it was pretty. Good.
This speaks volumes. Yeah. It's pretty awesome. Also opening on the 29th, another comedy. This one from PJ Hogan, who brought us Muriel's Wedding and My Best Friend's Wedding. Mental.
You know, Toni Collette batshit crazy. Yes. I am so in.
I agree.
She has been so Hollywood for so long, I'd forgotten what she was like when she really cut loose.
And the story here is that she becomes a nanny of five kids. And it's just all shit goes crazy.
Yeah.
You put a crazy woman with a bunch of kids. What do you expect?
I'm like looking at the cast list and the trailer opens up with The Hills Are Alive with the Sound of Music, right? And you're like, what? and then it goes crazier from there.
Pretty much. I think it looks pretty funny and I'm with you. I like Toni Collette a lot. I'll see.
And oh, by the way, Anthony LaPaglia, like I want to hear from some down under types. His accent sounds pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Hey, good call.
So tell me if I'm just got a really dead North American ear or not.
I tend to have that, apparently. And we'll finish off the month with Blancanieves. This is Pablo Berger's revisionist fairy tale of Snow White. Black and white. Silent, huge winner at the Goya Awards. I think it sweeped the Goyas. It was supposed to come out in like February and they've pushed it. So it's now opening at the end of the month. I assume it's in limited release.
Yeah, chances are I'm not going to be able to see this. And this is the number one film this month that sort of excites the crap out of me because it's totally dynamic.
It's playing VIFF.
Yeah, that means I have to go from Port Coquitlam downtown Vancouver for a single film. It takes me longer to commute there and back than the entire thing in its entirety.
I'm just saying.
I know.
Stylistically, it looks really
looks pretty awesome, eh?
Beautiful, yeah.
I agree. I think it looks really great. I'm looking forward to seeing it. That's pretty much it for the month. A long month. We've been talking
stuff.
For a while.
Yeah.
Some good stuff in there. I'm really excited.
There's the last part of the month. Thank God it's the last part of the month because my first part of March is
kind
of
screwed.
Insane. But yeah, there's some stuff I'm looking forward to.
I agree. It's looking pretty good. Just quickly for Vancouver folks, there's some good stuff worth mentioning. Oh, Colleen is getting very excited. At the Cinematheque, we've got Spaghetti Unchained. They're showing a number of spaghetti westerns, and Colleen is getting very excited about DocuSucker.
DocuSucker, man, on the big screen. Never seen it on the big screen. I may have to make a pilgrimage.
She will make a pilgrimage for DocuSucker.
Damn straight. Are you kidding?
I really like that movie. Okay, I have actually seen this one.
Some people might know it under A Fistful of Dynamite, yeah. Which it's also played under.
Yeah.
Correct. I like DocuSucker better.
Yes.
Also, A Fistful of Dollars, Sabata, Django, and Tarantino's favorite, apparently, Navajo Joe.
Nice.
So, you know, for the Spaghetti Western fan, definitely worth checking out. I must say I'm much more interested in the Russian space opera double bill. 1982's To the Stars by Hard Ways, which looks and sounds ridiculously B-movie awesome.
That yeah. Sounds awesome.
It's got like a rating of 3.9 IMDb. it's like
yeah.
B-movie.
Okay.
B-movie.
I need to go to that too.
And also the mockumentary First to the Moon. Those two are double billed together. I think they're only playing for a couple of days. At the Van City, we have the documentary The House I Live In. This is Eugene Jarecki's documentary about minimum mandatory sentences in the U.S. and how they're affecting the basically the entire system. And the mandatory sentences are in regards to drug convictions.
Yeah.
It's an interesting documentary. It has some interesting points to make, but it's kind of all over the place and it loses its way more than once. But worth checking out. It is an interesting concept and something I'd never heard about before. Also, The Suicide Shop, which is the animated sort of horror story about a shop where I think people commit suicide. I have no idea. We've posted the trailer at Quiet Earth a couple of times. It wasn't anything that really appealed to me, and the reviews have been kind of mixed, but it looks really pretty. And this month's Cinema Salon is Peter Greenaway's The Cook, the Thief, His Wife, and Her Lover.
Eh.
Classic.
You know what? I much preferred Night Watch way more than
yes,
that one.
Yeah. Me too. I'm much more of a fan of the Night Watch / Jacques
yeah.
Peter Greenaway, but this for a purely dramatic, I think this is pretty damn fine.
This one has kind of a special place for me because it was one of the very first real arty is not quite
non-mainstream.
Actually, I seem to remember that it was more mainstream than not. It was playing in the... But, yeah, the story was not straightforward. Like,
no,
up until that point, I was pretty much one of those summer popcorn, don't give me too much of a plot to think about. And I saw this one, and it really kind of opened my eyes up to what movies could do. I still don't understand it completely.
Yeah, I've never been able to understand this movie from beginning to end, and I've seen it a couple of times. But I think one of the things that really worked for in its benefit was it sort of came at a time when the Weinsteins were starting to sort of emerge as sort of art house powerhouses, and this had a really good cast.
Yeah.
So I think that certainly helped to get it sort of into the mainstream. And yeah, it's just really weird and kind of funny. And I think it had a little bit more appeal than some of Greenway's other movies. Yeah, even though it doesn't
make
a whole lot
of sense. I actually, a friend and I went through some of his back catalog, and he's got some weird shit back
yeah,
there.
Very much. And this was sort of, he's always had, I didn't notice it until it was years later. And I think probably night watching was where it really came to light, that he has this very obsessive personality mm-hmm. where he sort of discovers something and he becomes obsessed with it, and it comes through in his movies. So this one, he's obsessed with food. There was one where he was obsessed with writing. I can't remember what it was called. I think it might have been The Notebook or something like that.
A Zed in Two Knots was strange. The Pillow Book.
Yeah, and then he's just got some stuff that's just weird.
Yeah.
So I've never been able to sort of...
Draftsman's Contract is kind of interesting.
I haven't seen that one. I haven't seen a lot of his early work because I didn't really discover him until this. Mm. And I didn't really go back to watch any of the other stuff. It all looked a little too odd for me. Know your limits. Play within them.
Oh, God. I think anything that he's done still is like way more accessible to me than Lynch.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I've had my love and hate with Lynch, and I'm kind of, it's not that there's hate, but I've just sort of lost interest in whatever it is that he's doing now. He was really great when he was sort of in experimental, weird, but still accessible mode. And now he's just
where there was
weird.
Still a story.
Yeah,
like Lost Highway and things like that.
Yeah, where
and
something was still happening.
Was it Inland Empire?
Like, fucked.
What the fuck was that?
I won't diss it because
I kind of liked it too, but
it's an interesting experiment.
But it had some great individual scenes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, from start to finish, I was like,
there's no real story.
No.
Yeah.
He sort of lost me there. Moving on to the Rio Theater.
Oh, yeah, speaking of accessible, these ones are.
Yeah, for sure. So they do their sort of, I think it's every Friday or every second Friday, they do their midnight screenings. Coming up is Fight Club and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So good.
Oh, yeah, I'm kind of with Colleen. I have seen them. And
whatever.
I like the cartoons better.
No.
Oh, so did I. Don't get me wrong. The cartoons were way better, but there's just something totally goofy fun about.
You know what?
Teenage Mutant Ninja
Turtles. It doesn't even have the charm of Howard the Duck.
Oh God, I think it has way more charm than Howard the Duck.
Yeah. You know, I would have to rewatch both of them to decide that.
I'm not. Yeah, I never in my life want to see Howard the Duck ever again.
You know, I loved it the first time it came out. And I kind of defended it, and then I rewatched not the whole thing.
Thank God.
You regained your senses after 15 minutes.
Wow. Okay.
This is not as I remember it.
This isn't as good as I remember.
Yeah. I've had some.
I mean,
moments.
It was one of those. Actually, I remember. It was one of those movies where the ideas were really cool, and I remembered the ideas. And when I went back and actually saw the presentation again, it's. Yeah, it's better as ideas.
Yeah. Also at the Rio for 3 nights, Reincarnated. This is the Snoop Dogg documentary where he sort of finds himself through like reggae music. He goes to Jamaica and rediscovers himself.
I didn't know he was lost.
He changes his name and everything. He's now something Tiger or something like that.
He's no longer Snoop Dogg?
He's not.
The Shizzle?
The girl's
gone wild, boy?
Yeah, I know he's got some other name. I love Snoop Dogg. It's like he's just, I've never been a big fan of his music, but I like his attitude.
The character, his persona.
Yeah, I like the Snoop Dogg persona. He's the pimp daddy, man. Him and Nardwar, this is Human Serviette, hilarious together. Nardwar has interviewed him a couple of times, and those videos are like classic. The Festival Cinemas, I wanted to mention this because I've received like 5 different emails from 5 different people about this movie. Hit and Strum. Locally made film, directed by Kirk Coet, who is actually a stuntman in Vancouver. He left a stuntman job, wrote the script. I think it might be based on a story or something. Wrote the script, directed, stars in. It's about he plays a homeless man who's like found by some woman, and he happens to be like a talented musician. I'm not 100% sure of the details because I haven't actually seen the movie, but there's been a lot of buzz around it. I'd like to support the local Canadian film store. If you're in town and you like music, this is probably one to check out. It opens at the Fifth Avenue on March the 8th.
Which, sadly, Fifth Avenue won't be around for much longer.
Well, they've been sold to Cineplex. My understanding from the president of Festival Cinemas is that Cineplex has vowed to continue the same programming that Festival has maintained up until this point, to the point where they're keeping all of the staff, including the booking agents.
Oh.
So I assume that it'll be operation as usual for the time being at at the Fifth Avenue.
Yeah, for the short term.
For the short term.
I don't go to Tinseltown at all anymore. Did they change?
Their programming? No, their programming is exactly as it was before. Good.
Now, if they'd only have good programming somewhere out in these suburbs, I'd be happy.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah.
I did notice that the Clove Cinema out in Cloverdale, they're really upping their marketing campaign. I think they might have some new owners out there. So worth checking out. They were running, I think it might still be active, a Groupon where you could buy a whole year of movies for $130.
Wow.
Ridiculously cheap. And you can do a double date night thing for $15. And they're showing first run movies. So I'll pop a link into the show notes for them, because always good to support local theaters.
Well, I know the Pitt Meadows Theater near us has a Friday crazy horror show Friday or something like that going on.
Beautiful. You gotta love it, man.
I love the Dolphin. They have $2 movie nights on Tuesday.
But it's a madhouse there.
If it's a popular movie,
it's a madhouse. Yeah. I've been there a couple of times with you guys, and it's crazy. I've been there
when it's dead, too, depending on the movie.
It totally depends on the movie. And I wanted to finish off with this because I'm a huge fan of this movie, and I want everybody that can possibly see it to see it. Blood Pressure, this is Sean Garrity's new movie, played at Whistler. I think you saw it, Dale. Yep. Had a good thing. You liked it?
I generally liked it. Yeah.
Yeah. I actually really, really loved this movie.
Someone else there.
I think Bill.
Bill liked it too, didn't he?
Bill liked it as well.
Yeah.
And
I think more than I did.
I think Zach may have seen it as well.
It was, yeah. I really liked the whole lead up. He did the suspense in the first half of the movie really well, and the character was really interesting. The woman caught into this world of suspense.
Yeah, so this woman is your typical suburbanite
housewife.
Housewife. She starts getting these messages that are sort of encouraging, and they speak to her as an individual, and they give her all of this sort of renewed energy. And then she starts following these clues, and it leads to some things that aren't quite so good. And it's a really interesting thriller. I really, really liked it.
And
I like this quite a bit.
The ending was definitely not cliche.
Definitely not cliche. Playing one night only, March 16th at 9:30 at the Port Moody. It's part of the Port Moody Film Festival. We'll put a link in the show notes. You can check that out. I'm not 100% sure where that theater is, because I've never actually been up there.
I went there a little while ago.
So it exists. First time.
It does exist. It's kind of in the library. It's not a theater. It's more like that 315 theater on Main.
Okay.
Where it's a special occasion kind of thing. And it's really small.
Okay,
really small.
If you want to go, buy your tickets in advance. You can buy your tickets online. I just really like the movie. I highly recommend it. So if you can, I haven't seen anything else about a release date. So if you're looking for it, this is, if you're in the area, definitely worth checking out. And that, dear listeners, is March.
March.
Hooray.
Yay. Have we been talking for a while? It feels like we've been talking for a while. My mouth is very dry.
Yeah. It's 10 after 8.
Oh, that doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah, I would have to.
At this point, that really doesn't mean anything to me.
Won't to the listeners either.
Yeah, probably not. It's we don't know when we started or anything. So anything else you guys want to mention while we're here and together and as a group?
Oh, we've gone so long, I think.
Oh, your brain is mush?
I know what it's like when I'm listening to a long podcast.
We'll cut it short.
We don't want to become the new...
Yeah.
The new Cinecast?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's kind of impossible. We don't have Kurt.
No.
And we don't have Andrew, and we don't have Matt. But we have us.
We have us.
Which is just good.
Better.
I wasn't going to say it, but thank you.
Biased, but I agree.
Very much so. If you're at all interested in any more discussion about the host, because you never know, I have no idea what our listenership is like, Shannon and I, now this is now Planet Shannon TV. because Movie Moxie has changed her name. We thought we're going to do an in-depth discussion of the host on next week's Before the Dawn. So if you're interested, I will link in the show notes. You can take a listen to us there. Let's just say one of us liked the book a lot better than the other one did. And that's kind of it. So come on by row3.com for links to all the trailers and for, you know, your trailers and news and reviews and all that fun stuff. Also, Quieter Thought US for lots more reviews. Anything else? We're done?
We're done? Yeah, I think go support your local roller derby league. There you go. There's my plug. So I'm sure there's one in your town.
Check us out on Letterboxd.
Yes. Oh, yeah, Letterboxd. Go for it.
It's like I generally won't friend back unless I know you, but if you somehow tell me that you're a podcast fan, I will definitely follow you back as a friend.
Awesome. And your Letterboxd?
Is Dale42.
Awesome. Mine is The Marina. Colleen, do you have Letterboxd?
No,
yet?
I don't. You keep on talking about this, and I go, I should check that out, and then I never do.
Just so happy I finally, because, you know, it's like you get that big flux of movies, Anna, and you just keep finding movies you've watched, and it's like, yes, I've bumped my list over 1,000.
And then you're still on that, right?
Then you get to 999, right? And it's just like, oh, number 1,000 cannot be a piece of crap. No, I have to find... But you've already entered in most of the movies that, you know, like all the good. So like you hold back all this list of crap movies that you've seen until you find that really good one to be 1,000.
Okay, you're putting way more thought into this than I did. I'm kind of like, yeah, seen it. I lost count after a while. Just don't care.
That was how I got my initial list in, was just I went through yours and it's like, yeah, seen it.
I think that's pretty much what everybody did when it was still in beta. It is now open to the public. It's a really great website. Worth checking out. I like it so much, I actually did support them.
You bought a pro account. Yeah, I did. Good for you.
I really like it. And it's been really helpful for keeping track of movies and stuff.
So. You know, yeah, it's like you say, it's really nice as a quick way just to keep the list. I've been doing reviews too, just for the hell of it. But
Which is great.
Just as keeping, if the only thing you ever do is just use it as a list, I think it's really handy.
Agreed. And that's really all I use it for at this point, is just keeping track of movie lists. And it works great.
And
for
it's
that.
Really cool. It does a wall of movie posters for what you've seen. And it just looks really pretty.
Yeah, it's aesthetically pleasing. It's quite nice. So, Letterboxd, we'll also link to our Letterboxd accounts in the show notes. So, come on by. Until next time,
we'll see you after the credits. Another man today, shot him in his back as he ran away. Then I blew up his hut with a hand grenade, cut his wife throat as she put her hands to pray. Just 5 more dogs, then we can get a soccer ball. That's what my commander say. How old? Well, I'm like 10, 11. Been fighting since I was like 6 or 7. Now I don't know much about where I'm from, but I know I strike fear everywhere I come. Government want me dead, so I wear my gun. I really want the rocket launcher, but I'm still too young. This candy give me courage not to fear no one, to feel no pain and hit no tongue. So I hear no screams and I shed no tear. If I'm in your dreams, then you're in this year. Get your weapon, get your weapon, get your weapon. We're calling you. There's a war. If the guns are just too tall for you, find you something small to use. Get your weapon, get your weapon, get your weapon. Reach now. Now here comes the march of the boy brigade, a macabre parade of the toys he made. And shemags and shades who look half his age, about half the size of the flags they wave. And camouflage suits made to fit youths, cause the ones off the dead soldiers hang a little loose. With AK-47s that they shooting in the heaven, like they trying to kill a Jetson who struggles little recruits. Cute, smileless, heartless, violent, childhood destroyed, devoid of all childish ways. Can't write their own names or read the words that's on their own graves. Think you gangster, popped a few rounds. These kids have come through and murder a whole town. Then sit back and smoke and watch it burn down. The grave gets deeper the further we go down. It's a weapon, it's a weapon, it's a weapon. We're calling you. There's a war. If the guns are just too tall for you, find you something small to use. It's a weapon, it's a weapon, it's a weapon. You need you now.
Imagine if I had to console the families of those slain. I slayed on game consoles. I aim my hole, right trigger to squeeze. Press up and Y, one less nigga breathe. Beat for the bombs, press pause for your moms. Make the room silent. She don't approve of violent games. She leave, resume activity. Starting blue hearts apart, sharp wizardry. On next part, I insert code to sweeten up the little person's murder workload. I tell him he work both. CIA with A, a operative, I operate this game all day. I hold a controller connected to the soldier with weapons on his shoulder. He's only seconds older than me. We play fool but serious. Now keep that on mind for online experience.
Get your weapon, get your weapon, get your weapon. We're calling you. There's a war. If it comes at just too tall for you, find yourself in small to use. Get your weapon, get your weapon, get your weapon. Reach now. Get your weapon, get your weapon, get your weapon. We're calling you. There's a war. If it comes at just too tall for you, find yourself in small to use. Get your weapon, get your weapon, get your weapon. Reach now.